Well, pushing my contractual clause for one show a season to be recorded in Manchester, welcome everyone to the first Total Rugby League show of 2020. And joining us here on the right side of the Pennines at the Etihad campus in East Manchester, we're joined by the welcome return, a happy new year to Mr. Martin Sadler.
Thank you.
And Matthew Shaw is here as well.
Howdy.
So, hello everyone and welcome to the Etihad campus. And we're here for the... What is this called? Technically, the season launch of the Toronto Wolfpack.
The Toronto Wolfpack. Yes. Media launch.
Media launch. That's
wow.
Right.
And it's the last one of the year. Well, we've got the Super League launch, but all the other clubs have done theirs. Toronto were last. Yeah, we're pretty much already now.
Yeah, we are. The Super League launch is Friday, as I understand.
It is. Headingley.
At Headingley. So there'll be a lot of big wigs at that one. But
like me.
Speaking of big wigs, coming up on this week's show, we're going to be joined shortly by Bob Hunter, chairman of the Toronto Wolfpack, to talk about his expectations for the season to come. And we're going to try and get Brian Noble as he's walking down with Aaron.
I am watching that staircase.
So
like a hawk.
We've got Eric Grossman, the media man here at the Wolfpack, on doing our bidding as the runner for
Beautiful.
The show this week. So
Beautiful.
That's good. So hopefully we'll get that sorted. But it was an interesting chat that was taking place upstairs, an interesting conference. It's it's not really going to be plain sailing this season, but nor did we expect it.
No, I mean, I think the Wolfpack face a difficult season in many respects, mainly because they've got such a limited squad. And although John Wilkin made a good point and said that, you know, with a limited squad, which is a fairly mature squad, you know, every player in the squad virtually deserves a place, you know, in the match day 17th. So there's no doubt about, you know, the quality of some of the players at the lower end of the squad, which is an interesting point to make. But you know, really, at the end of the day, they're going to be praying for no significant injuries. I think they've got 22 or 23 players at the moment, including, of course, Sonny Bill. If they all stay fit throughout the year, they'll have a decent season. If they get, I think Brian McDermott was just saying to me, if they have 30% of their players injured throughout the year, then they'll probably be relegated. And you know, that's unfortunately how it is with them. And the problem they've got is that they can't sign new players because they're already up to their salary cap limit.
I've got a memory of us having a similar chat about Salford last season, Matthew. And
yep.
But 100%. This is slightly different, isn't it? It's not like they're having to travel up and down the M62. There's a lot more travelling involved.
It's the same concept. Still got to play and keep players fit. The challenge, I think, for Toronto that Salford didn't have is the demands of travelling.
Yeah.
You know, it's hours and hours and hours of travelling. They ain't going to be easy. But this man can tell us more about it than
Brian,
I can.
Brian Noble's
No one really
Hello.
Cares.
Hello, Brian. You're all right.
I feel sorry for Brian. I've just bored him for about 15 minutes upstairs.
It was a good kind of boredom.
It was good because
he's boring the pants off, man.
He started Lent like this, and by the end he was stood up right. I thought, I've done a decent job.
There's a lot of body language.
Matthew Shaw bores me 7 days a week, so I try and bore Matthew as well.
But in case you didn't know, dear listener, on Brian Noble joins us, director of rugby at the Toronto Wolfpack. Good press conference.
I thought, yeah, nice surroundings. I think another indication of where we're trying to get the game to. We know where we all want to be, and we generally try and make decisions that are good for the game, and I think this is part and parcel of those kind of decision making that we will continue to make.
Actually, what I thought was interesting, Brian, was that there are quite a few Canadian journalists here.
Outstanding.
Really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm from a broad spectrum of sports as well. Clearly, the number one sport is in rugby league, like it is for us. And some really pertinent questions from them as well. Some interesting questions.
Absolutely.
We're a good story, aren't we? And we have been since day one. Those that have been mapping this out and seeing what we've done. John Wilkin said some interesting things in relation. I hope somebody's measuring this, not just as a collective, because I know, but from discussions with Matt over the last 4 years, how much impact we've had on the game of rugby league and and in the world. I go down Australia every year, and I know the topic of conversation truly is the Toronto Wolfpack. And I just wonder if anybody's clever enough or smart enough to outline the extra impact, say something like Sonny Bill is providing for the game. Somebody should measure it, because what it'll do is reinforce everybody's belief that we need superstars in this game to help us survive.
It's an interesting one, this, actually, because people say, why are they spending that much money on him? You know, will you get the return on investment from a playing point of view? Well, the answer's probably no, but the signing of Sonny Bill Williams is a lot more than what he does on the pitch. A lot of the return you're going to get from him, in my opinion, is intangible in terms of the publicity, in terms of the media spotlight. And
but we would say that is now tangible.
Yeah.
We can prove it. We can prove it with eyeballs that we have a dynamic and a piece of... Everybody's a piece of software these days.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to be the piece of software. Now it's somebody's got an app. The impact that we've had in relation to eyeballs on the game, and compare that relatively with teams like the Raptors in their current stage of development. Yeah. What I would suggest is there's a tangible and measurable financial impact of the 10 teams that we're playing in the UK first.
Yeah.
So not only has he made an impact in relation to what we're doing, Bob's telling me, our CEO, that there's a 30% increase in sponsorship, there's a 30% increase in tickets. So that is tangible, measurable.
Even Prince Harry has decided to come and live in Toronto.
Well, I don't think it's on the back of... I think he's the wrong side of Toronto, but we'll definitely drag him, being the patron of Billy. We'll ask him to do that.
Interestingly.
What I would say, just to finish that, please, Matt, let me finish that one. I think you can measure financially the impact on the 10 teams that we're playing in the UK. Somebody should be saying, well, because of the SBW factor,
The TV deal, because they've obviously talked that this is fairly close now with whoever it may be, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that the interest that was shown before Sonny Bill Williams and the interest that was shown after Sonny Bill Williams was very...
Markedly different.
Yeah.
Massively, markedly different. Mm-hmm. I haven't been shocked. I never get shocked with this game. The world superstar that is Sonny Bill Williams, irrespective of the fact that he's a great bloke and a rugby man.
He certainly seems
through.
It, doesn't he?
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me, that's not an issue. And there is no ego there. That's brilliant. He has made the game of rugby league in the Northern Hemisphere be not only acknowledged again, the amount of press and journalistic inquiries, for want of a better word, that have come to me that I clearly knock back now, have been markedly different to any of the 3 years previously. It has helped us in our challenge to get the game of rugby league, the game that I love, on people's agendas, not just our agenda. Sport. I'm being asked to speak at functions in London that I clearly wouldn't have been access to before.
It's gone from getting only asked for interviews by me to... people far more famous.
This is the best one to date.
I was going to say though, Brian, I mean, we've spoken on the League One show and Championship Weekly, and you were talking about the impact it's going to have on the other clubs.
Yes.
We've already seen that in the leagues
going
up.
Look at the League One fixtures and attendances against us and in the Championship. They get record attendances. Is somebody not
absolutely
a piece on this because everyone was saying no home fans, so I just thought I'd go and explore it.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like 39 away fixtures you'd played, and you'd played about 22 clubs or something like that, and in that time not one club has recorded their lowest attendance of the season playing Toronto, and I think it was 65% had recorded above average attendances when they played you compared to 35.
Yeah,
Madden,
a lot of them had
the
biggest attendance of the season.
The question,
particularly those clubs that made an effort to promote.
Well,
the
this
idea
is the question. This is
the
question is because obviously the amount of away fans that you are bringing isn't as big as a Bradford, as a whoever else. So there is something about Toronto that isn't physical people in Toronto jerseys that's making people turn up. So people can go on about you don't bring away fans, it don't matter if they're away fans, all that matters is who, if they come through the gate. It don't matter if they're supporting Toronto.
We bring generic rugby fans.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. That's what we will do. I don't believe, first and foremost, as an owner of a club, if I was the owner of a club, it would be my responsibility to fill that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Without the reliance upon away supporters. The game is too heavily commanded by, well, we know Cass are going to bring 1,000 fans, so that's a good payday. We know that Saints and Wigan all bring there are certain clubs that don't bring that many fans and things like that, so people, owners scratch their heads in relation to that.
And far too many clubs now just speak to their own supporters, which is a diminishing market if we're not careful.
One of the interesting things is we played at Bradford last year, Toronto, and we took 300 fans.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that's not Torontonians that came over. Some of them, I think it was maybe 10 or 12 from Toronto itself. That can grow. We can market that. We can get people enthused to come and follow, even if they're neutrals for the game. But people will come to our games at the start of this year just to see the people that we've signed.
But the thing is, Brian, Brian McDermott has made it very clear in today's media conference that...
Yeah.
You know, you've got a limited squad size and you've spent up to your salary cap. And the difficulty that you have is that whereas other clubs have all sorts of dispensations for homegrown players and various other things, you don't have them. So in fact, you're limited to probably the lowest level of the cap and other clubs can go higher. I mean, that's got to be absolutely crazy, hasn't it? And I just wonder whether Super League will recognise that you are a special case. You can't necessarily have exactly the same rules for Castleford, Wakefield and Toronto, you know, because those clubs are in the middle of an area that produces lots of players and so on and so forth.
And the cost of living.
You're putting the words in Brian's mouth, I think.
Yeah, no.
I think I've said all of these things, and
there are
deliberations that are going on with the RFL and Super League.
Well, I was
going
to say, we've all said them, but is anybody doing anything about it?
To date, no. Probably right. not. But it's been looked at ad infinitum. What I would say is that I think there's a willingness to look at the whole thing. It's a really difficult subject. Being positively disadvantages in some cases, I think we have been, is difficult. Bear in mind, when we started Super League in 1996, new teams were ring fenced for 3 years. I completely get it. The London Broncos, as they were then, had 12 overseas players, which clearly had to be reduced. Bearing in mind, it's taken 25 years to start developing players out of London to where they're in most other clubs, which is brilliant. I'm not knocking that, but there was a whole lot more effort born into expansion down there than is currently. And I understand the financial dynamics of everything in life, especially modern sport. So do I feel we're being a little bit disadvantaged? Do I sometimes feel that we're swimming against the tide? Do I sometimes feel that we've been set up to fail? Of course I do, but that's because I'm in it, deep in it, day in, day out. I'm confident that with a reasoned argument and the facts are put on the table in relation to what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do this, that we'll get some kind of allowances. I have to believe that. I have to believe that it won't be at the whim of people that perhaps feel threatened by our existence.
I'm starting to think that the salary cap shouldn't be there, actually.
I'll ask all three of you, and it's not my mind up clearly in relation to the salary cap. What's the purpose of it?
Well, my argument is, if you got rid of the salary cap, yes, for a couple of years, yourselves who have got the resource to spend a lot of money, Warrington would be.
That's an assumption that we got the resource, by the way.
Well, you know what? I don't. Well, okay. But anyway,
we still have to cross the T's and dot the I's.
But what would happen is, in my opinion, you get more superstars in the game. You get more Sunnybill. Well, not Sunnybill. You can't really get another Sunnybill. But you get big name players.
You can get
an Owen Farrell, a Manu Tuilagi. Yeah, but Sunnybill, isn't he? He's the cream of the crop, in my opinion. In terms of a name as a brand.
I don't disagree. Yeah.
You get all these guys in, and come 2021, or whenever you brought, well, it's 2021, isn't it? Suddenly, Sky want to pay a hell of a lot more money because a hell of a lot more broadcast companies that want to buy your product because you got all these superstars in, and then everyone gets more money and everyone's richer, and they can start spending more money, and suddenly it doesn't feel like you're restricted.
Can I put your words into maybe a sentence or a couple of sentences that our listeners might understand? This year, the Super League is more exciting because, not just because of Sonny Bill Williams, but because George Burgess is coming back, Gareth Widdop's coming back, the boy Caesar at Huddersfield, James Maloney, who's an unbelievably brilliant halfback and grand finalist and international, he's playing at Catalans. All of a sudden, we have something to talk about. And I dare to suggest that the signings of previous 4 years haven't been as good as they've been this year. To cap it all off with SBW coming into the competition, everybody's talking about rugby league. Whether you're involved in rugby league or not, I'm getting journalists from that want to do docu-soaps and how has this happened and where has this happened, because it's a story. The brand of football clearly needs to reflect that, but I think rugby league does. It's a game that you can't play half-heartedly.
Absolutely,
or you get your backside busted. It's as simple as that. People see the genuine effort. My other sobering fact is that we're at 25% of the value of the NRL and rugby union from 2006. So it's difficult for us to attract. So I'd love to go, and I've loved for all everybody, Warrington and Wigan and Saints, have the facility to go to the Manu Tuilagis and the, all of the other exciting players that are in rugby union, Welsh rugby union, as we used to do, and try them. But they're a risk, trust me.
Okay,
so
we
have to find a way, going back to your absolutely pertinent point, Matt, is our competition enough to be still as exciting, to command the kind of finances that we currently get from our broadcasting partners? My tip is, from last year, no. Because I know there are moves behind the scenes to try and, well, if this doesn't come through X, Y and Z, what do we do? However, if we get to a point in 6 months' time well, another three Sonny Bill Williams are coming in, and another young four kids from Huddersfield Academy's come through and break the banks and really do that, all from Leeds, all from Sits, or whatever, and that mix of talent that we keep. The problem is we get threatened by the NRL and rugby union. Our stars can be taken and lifted from us. Mm-hmm. So broadcasters have to show something that people want to see. That's the bottom line. And they want to put their cards in a box.
Yeah.
I want to pay some money to see that.
Of course, with this salary cap problem, if you signed a rugby union player, his salary wouldn't count on the cap for the first year.
So somebody that looks at something in a three-year cycle or a four-year cycle or a five-year cycle, what we fail to recognise is it costs us nothing this year. Mm. However, it costs us next year, as in the year after.
Yeah.
So is there still a financial commitment to, even though that, then you say, well, he's a franchise, well, hang on a minute, we're only allowed two franchise players. So we can only do that with a certain amount of people, with two people, in essence. So it's a difficult one. It's a difficult conundrum, and there are some difficult discussions that need to take place at Super League and Rugby League level. Bearing in mind, we're a club, we're one member of the 12 at the moment that can. This is our view. You might get 11 different viewpoints.
But I was going to say, you obviously must raise this with other clubs, with people from other clubs.
Of course we do.
You obviously speak to them all.
Of course we do.
What's the general reaction that you get when you point all this out? I mean,
I'd like to say supportive.
But are they?
I'd like to say supportive. I'd like to say some.
It's a difficult word to say, isn't it?
Well, because some people have the same views that we have, Martin, that you look at something, how can we make this better? And I promise you, whilst I'm myopic in my aspirations for the Wolfpack, I'm also good enough in my own heart to say, are we making a decision here that's good for the game?
Mm.
And I generally would ask all of the people involved in our game, are we making decisions that are good for the game? And if we're not, then you go back to that. I clearly have to look after the back of the Wolfpack, and we'll try to get the best I possibly can secure for them. However, I'm also interested in great ideas for the game. And I will say, in the last 3 or 4 years, our club has spent a lot of money on making decisions that are good for the game.
Mm. Hypothetical question.
Yeah.
If you said to clubs in Super League, you said to 12 clubs now, and maybe go to Championship, right, we're going to go to a 14-team Super League, we're going to get rid of the salary cap, but there's no relegation, would the clubs be in favour of it?
Oh, wow. So 14 team comp.
Let's say it's a 14 team comp.
14 team comp. No salary cap.
But you get rid of relegation. So it's a closed.
So you close shop.
So those 14 clubs don't have to worry.
I have no issues with that, other than there should be a minimum spend involved in that.
Mm-hmm. But no, the question
there should
I'm
be
asking
a I know what you're asking
these
me.
These clubs that aren't. Are currently against.
So, the next bit, I'm getting to you.
Okay.
I know you're
an
intelligent young man and you keep challenging
debatable.
Me on this, I'm getting
debatable.
To the next bit. I am saying there has to be an avenue for a new team to go into that 14.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what is the criteria? Is it a 3-year cycle, a 2-year cycle? And is it on application? For example, for me, I want York in the Super League. I want Newcastle in the Super League. I want Toulouse in the Super League. I want London in the Super League.
Yeah.
I want somebody to say to Newcastle, the people that are doing the brilliant work that they're doing up there, to say, you're in Super League in 2022, mate.
Yeah.
Get ready for it. And these are boxes you have to tick for you to be in Super League.
Mm.
Not the fact that you finished top of the competition.
That should be the main. I mean, when you talk about the strategic planning of the game, that's what it should be, isn't it, really? How do we
I've got a question for you.
Yeah,
a journalist of some considerable prowess, if I may say this. I've actually said this on here. I don't know, believe I'm saying this. All the fights we've had over the year, Martin. Is there an expansion strategy, either from the RFL
or
Super
League? I'm aware of.
As a journalist, ask the question, what's your strategy?
Yeah.
Brian, should there be a strategy?
Definitely, of course there should be.
Yeah.
Brian McDermott mentioned it in the press conference. We're going to see 25 years more of the same, because it ain't going the right way at the moment, gents.
We should be, I mean, let's face it, Brian, we should be thinking, you know, we've got a World Cup coming up, 2021.
Well, how exciting is that?
We've got teams representing Scotland and Ireland and Jamaica. What are we doing in terms in terms of developing the
Toronto
game in those
Wolfpack
places?
Toronto Wolfpack trialled 100 Jamaicans.
Really?
You never picked up. You were with the first year in existence.
Right.
We went to Kingston, Jamaica. Right. We trialled 100 and we gave two of them contracts. Right. We couldn't play them over here. So right. people that talk about our development aspirations right. ain't looking in down the right corridors.
No.
We were in Jamaica 3 years before anywhere they were.
Because you were in Miami when I
we
was there.
The East Coast, we went down to Florida, we went down the East Coast, Philadelphia, we did to Toronto, we identified over 100. We gave five of them professional contracts and had to renege on those professional contracts, give them the money back basically because we couldn't find the visas to play them over here. So one of the smaller issues that we have as a club is like the visa issues in relation to when we do things, we want the support of the rugby league in relation to getting visas. That's been very clunky. I'm not saying they haven't been supportive, I'm saying we need a solution for this for the game. It truly has an expansion strategy.
Yeah.
Can we go back to my question?
God, sorry, what was it, Matt? I think I answered it.
No, you didn't. Yes or no, if you went to a 14-team league...
With no salary cap,
but you got rid of relegation, would the club support it?
Yes, I think they would.
Thank you, that's all I want.
Yes, I think they would.
Because I think they would as well.
Yeah.
Because I think the ones that are against the salary cap going up or more leniencies are the ones that are scared of being relegated. Yeah.
Yes, I would, but that for me fails if there isn't a mechanism. So there's a better way of answering it. If there isn't a mechanism for somebody outside that 14 to get into
the
14.
Yeah, there's still got to be that pathway in, hasn't there?
Definitely.
But it's figuring that out.
Won't keep you too long, Brian. But I was going to say, the other Brian made the point, and I think you've touched upon it already, the fact, you know, we've been doing this for 25 years and we can't just keep repeating the same things over the next 25 years or so.
Well, we can if you want the same things.
Yeah, sure. But there's been talk about Red Star Belgrade and Valencia. I know Matthew says we should be just walking.
Valencia.
But a bit further down, we've got Ottawa and New York and Toulouse and Newcastle, you say, and the old York, if you will. There has to be a strategy, doesn't there? What should that strategy be?
For me?
Yeah. Or off the sport more generally. Taking a step back from your role at Toronto, what should the strategy be?
As an impartial fan of rugby league, And an acolyte and a believer in the absolutely outstanding people I meet every day, wherever I am involved in this sport, I've given a snip preview. It should involve, we should get to a point where there are big cities or towns involved in our game. York has to be one. Newcastle, for me, has to be one. If you ever unite the clans up in Cumbria, maybe one up there. There has to be a presence in London, maybe two teams in London. And there has to be two presence. There has to be a Toulouse and a Catalan. There might be somewhere
and
in the south.
And more besides in France, yeah.
There might be somewhere in the southwest. We have to find a mechanism whereby somebody with more than 8 watt bulbs of a brain that I've got can look at this and say, and do you know what? When you start mentioning those kind of things, all of a sudden that becomes attractive to people. They're
and
not involved in rugby league.
It snowballs then, doesn't it? The level of investment
look at you,
snowballs.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for
it was
your,
a blast,
for your
wasn't
time.
It? You grabbed me on the off chance.
Yeah,
that,
best shows that you've took up half the show. So well done.
Oh, great. Well done, yes.
Martin can't speak now.
No, that's impossible. Nobody can never ever say, ever put it in print that I out-talked you, Martin. It don't work.
Final point. You're looking forward to the new season then?
Definitely. I'm hoping for a fair wind in relation to injuries. But I absolutely am looking forward to this.
Can
season.
I just ask you one last point? Something totally different. Bradford Bulls. What are your feelings about them not playing at all?
We've only got
year?
Half the show left.
Well, welcome to the second half of the show, Brian.
It's a show that's on for me, Martin. But what I will say is that I'm desperately, desperately disappointed that Bradford, for me, have reached rock bottom in relation to the story. Because for a Bradford team to be playing outside of Bradford, is a bit of a blemish on a few people's faces. However, the name is surviving. They are at this moment in time at Dewsbury only for a season, so I'm led to believe. I don't think it can go beyond that.
No. That's interesting. But we're near the end of the programme, so we better talk about that.
Seem you need to speak
I was ready to shake your hand and send you on your way, but there you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian,
as always.
Good stuff. Brilliant.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.
So Brian Noble there joining us. We'll hear from Bob Hunter shortly, not to make this the Toronto show, but, you know, I asked you a few weeks ago.
Season preview show. Yeah, we need to speak about everyone else.
I asked you, Martin, when should we come back? And you pick this day in. I think
absolutely.
It's appropriate, because I know there's going to be a lot of Heartland people who go, you know, what they're doing, giving Toronto so much airtime, but this is the future
they're
of the sport,
important
isn't it?
Look,
very
can,
important.
People can say what they want, but the dealing in facts, if I was to do my best Rafa Benitez impression, they have got, when people talk about Super League, outside of the rugby league bubble, they talk about Toronto Wolfpack at the moment.
Yeah.
End of story. People can't argue with that. That's a fact.
No.
So, whether you like it or not, they have an opportunity to raise the profile, raise the exposure of the game, and if you're against that, then you're against the sport of rugby league.
Absolutely.
End of discussion. Don't really see a point of debating any more than that.
Well, let's draw a line under the Toronto Wolfpack. Earlier, before the press conference, I caught up with Chairman at the Wolfpack. Here's Bob Hunter. Well, Bob, big thank you for joining us, and this is awfully exciting, isn't it? Here we are, nearly the new season kicking off. How are you feeling?
Well, I think, you know, just from the standpoint of what I hear from the coach and what I hear from the others, the team's ready. I mean, they really want to go now. And after a good showing last weekend in Castleford, I think the real deal starts next Sunday. And so, let alone, you know, our fan base here, but our fan base in Toronto is really excited about this year. And we want to see what kind of team we get.
And obviously, I think we spoke last year on the championship show that I've got. And, you know, it was ticking on, that kind of thing. But it wasn't a done deal because of the playoff system and that. But as soon as you got promoted, how much hard work's gone into getting us to this point here at the start of the Super League season?
Well, I think we have a much different approach, both from a business standpoint and a team standpoint. All of a sudden, you're playing with the big guys. And, you know, we've taken that approach as we approach new sponsors. Our season ticket base has grown dramatically. You know, the signing of Sonny Bill was a big event in Toronto as well as let alone worldwide. So, yeah, I think just being in the Super League, we're trying to learn as much as possible, as quickly as possible. And again, it all starts in 10 days, and so we can't wait.
I mean, that announcement of Sonny joining the Wolfpack, I mean, were you surprised with how much traction that got? Because it was not just a local story, was it? It was an international thing.
No, and again, put Toronto on the map, without a doubt. You know, it just said to the rugby world that we're a serious player in a serious league with a very serious player. And so we were quite excited about that. Let alone the local attention that it got, because all of a sudden now, you know, the non-mainstream rugby fan and the casual rugby fan all of a sudden said, wow, Sonny Bill Williams, like, this is the real deal. So it was a big deal in Canada as well, obviously, worldwide.
And how important is an event like this as well, where, you know, you're bringing people, you're bringing the press along here, all the players are here to, and yourself, of course, to rub shoulders. How important is that from an announcement of Toronto Wolfpack into the Super League season?
Again, I think it's a matter of you're playing at a different level. You know, I think the media attention that we've drawn this morning, let alone the announcement with our new player being present, but also, you know, with three new guys on the team, you know, bit of a different approach. You know, Brian McDermott's been in Super League. Brian Noble's been in Super League. So it's just a matter of treating that highest level of professional rugby the way it deserves to be treated.
Obviously, there's some flagship games coming up played over here. There's also news that you're looking at bringing some Canadian fans over here, making it a lot more easy to do that. How much are you looking forward to these big occasions over on this side of the Atlantic?
Well, you know, I think our three home but away games are very unique from that standpoint. But I think, you know, we've been pushing Magic Weekend very much with our Canadian fan base, and I think that we're going to get a decent turnout for that. But playing in the likes of Leeds or, you know, just the bigger markets, you know, a lot of Canadians have family here. So, you know, we expect a lot more travel than we had at the championship level. And again, I think we're really pushing our fans for attending Magic Weekend.
And then at some point in the spring, you'll be going back over. How are preparations going for the Lamport and that side of things?
Well, right now there's about 8 inches of snow on the ground, and it's
I believe so.
It's freezing cold. But no, it's a matter of, you know, we start to take the bubble off of the field about 2 weeks in advance of April 18th, our home game. But it's really a matter of Toronto's really a nice spring time. And so we're doing a lot of touch-ups and cosmetics and putting a bit of lipstick on our stadium. But we still have a lot of work to do before the game.
And finally then, Bob, thank you for giving up your time for this interview. We should add as well, what's your expectations for this season? What can you do, do you think?
Well, I never like to put words in the coach's mouth or in our director of rugby's mouth. But, you know, I think we showed last year with our record of 28-1 that we had a very superior squad. This is a whole new level, without a doubt. So we're not naive to think that we would ever come close to that. But we feel that certainly with the addition of Sonny, the two new guys, that we're going to be very competitive. And I think that we can compete at this level. Top 10, top five, I really don't want to say because I don't want to jinx anybody. But I think we're going to have a really good squad.
Bob Hunter there, chairman of the Toronto Wolfpack, and we'll never mention the Wolfpack again for the remainder of the
well,
show.
Well, we need to go for every club now, don't we?
Well, yeah, quickly. Because we're going to do the proper season preview, and because the first matches are taking place next week, with Wigan taking on Warrington next Thursday. So, very, very exciting. Christian Wolf coming in at St Helens. Mm.
The only major signing they've made. In fact, there are no
others.
Did
they need to make any more signings, though?
Well, not when you finish 16 points ahead of the competition. You know, you don't, do you? Let's face it.
It's an interesting one.
But he faces a real challenge, though, because, I mean, again, Saints fans will be full of expectations of doing the same thing again. And I think that's probably impossible. But they might still finish top of the league. I just don't think they'll win it by 16 points. But then again, just down the road, Liverpool... You know, following their example in the Football Premier League.
You're trying to wind Ben up.
Well, yes.
It's bad enough having to record the show at this facility. Bring other people in as
what
well.
What I would say about St. Helens is, I always think that if you stand still, you go backwards. Mm. But at the same time, they've got people off contract or people who are going to expect rises. Luke Thompson,
Is Luke Thompson staying?
I doubt it, but they're going to try. So... You know, they have to keep that cap space open. Beyond that, it gives Christian Wolf a chance to assess what he's got, and they can recruit mid-season. They've got two quota spots free. Mm. So anyone comes up in the mid-season, which always happens. We see it every year. Some pretty good players comes up. They're in prime position.
See, for them, for St Helens, if Luke Thompson is going to go to Australia next year, it's better for them if they know now, isn't it? So that they know they've got a plan without him.
They know that they can work the cap. They can 100%.
They can sort it out. They don't want to just find out in November.
They will want that resolved by the end of February.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if we got an announcement by the end of February. No. I think he'll go to Canterbury, which is a shame for the comp, but if they get it done now, nice and early, they've got a lot of planning. And that works better for Wolf.
Salford.
Interesting.
Really, I think they're the most interesting club in a way.
Who's going to be brave enough to predict where Salford are going to finish this season?
I've done my predictions. I've done them for the show. I thought you were going to ask us.
And what's your prediction?
Well, I'd say St Helens second. I have Salford to finish seventh.
Hmm. I was going to do the proper predictions in the warmth and comfort of the league.
I think Salford might be sixth or seventh. I don't think they'll... I think they might just miss out on the playoffs this year, but don't underestimate Ian Watson. I mean, he's shown... Last year we thought they'd be, you know, one of the relegation candidates. He defied everybody's prediction, mainly because, you know, Jackson Hastings had such a fantastic season for them, and he's not there anymore. But, you know, they've still got some good players. Kevin Brown going there, you know, to replace Hastings... A lot's going to depend on whether he can stay fit and healthy and so on and so forth. But Kevin, you know, when he plays at his best, is a real good player with probably a different skill set to Jackson. You know, Kevin's wide passing, you know, from left to right or right to left is really outstanding. So, you know, I think there'll be quite a bit of excitement at Salford this year.
Signed some good players. Luke Yates is outstanding.
Luke Yates, indeed.
They've recruited well. They've not recruited high profile. There's no one that stands out and think, whoa, what a signing. Mm. But they've signed a lot of good, solid, proven Super League players. I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but they won't be in danger of going down.
Dan Sargentson from Wigan, for example. What's quite interesting, a good coach is a coach who improves his players when they come and join him. And
he's got a proven track record.
That's why he's the best coach in Super League, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Wigan.
The big challenges to Saints.
Now, George Burgess, we understand, will be fit for the opening game of the season. Jackson Hastings?
It's a massive question. I mean, Jackson Hastings at Salford was the number one man. Clearly, you know, and he led the team in every way, both on and off the field, really, if we're honest about it. At Wigan, he's surrounded by players who are, you know, a lot of other big-name players who are not naturally going to just sit back and let Jackson take the limelight. He's going to have to work with players in a way that was perhaps a bit different to what happened at Salford. Who's to say he can't do it? I mean, he's a real fine player. So, I mean, I think we've got to assume that he will deliver the goods for Wigan. But it's going to be really interesting to find out, isn't it?
Won't be an easy adaptation for him.
No.
Or Wigan. Because he's going into an environment where, you know, there are a lot of experienced, seasoned players who demand... and command respect.
Exactly.
And he has to fit into going into that environment where he was the man. Mm. He's not. I'm not saying he's not one of the men, but he's not the man anymore. I think it will be difficult for him. That I do. But he's, as Martin said, an unbelievable player, and they've recruited well. They'll, for me, Saints and Wigan are the top two this year.
I think so.
We'll carry on chatting now. Cass.
Right. This is where I put my neck on the line.
I've got nothing written down for Cass here, you know. I've got a big blank.
Right, this is where I put my neck on the line, and this is where I will get abuse for predictions. I have Cass to finish in the bottom four.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Martin?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. Again, mainly because of Darrell Powell's coaching record since he's been at Castleford. Darrell isn't a bottom four sort of a coach, and I don't think that his squad is a bottom four squad. But the key thing is for Castleford, they've got Danny Richardson from St Helens, and apparently he's been doing pretty well in training, you know, alongside Jake Truman. If that partnership works well, I think they'll probably have quite a good season.
I'm worried about the pack.
In what way?
I think it's an ageing pack. Mm. I think they've got five players that are 32 years old in there.
Mm.
I think it's a squad that's coming to the end of its lifespan. They've recruited some decent players. Don't get me wrong, Sasaya Fekir is a very good winger. Danny Richardson has a point to prove.
Mm.
And I do think he's a point to prove, actually, because he was brilliant for Saints, but any halfback should have been brilliant for Saints that year. And then he played last year, and when he played, he didn't play that well.
No.
So I think he's got a point to prove. I just don't think...
I think they'll be very keen to prove it, though.
I think that they're at the end of the lifespan. I think they're in for... I don't think they'll go down, but I can see them... I can genuinely see them finishing as low as ninth.
Warrington?
Don't know.
They're an unknown strange quantity one. For me, strange because, one. You know...
Are they still looking for players to...
They just signed Lelani Lartey. Yeah. Announced that last night, so I think that's them done.
I mean, the big signing is Gareth Widdop. I thought Gareth was disappointing for Great Britain on the tour down in New Zealand.
We can discuss that later if you like.
No.
You know, his kicking game... I don't know whether it was the coaching on that tour or whatever it was, but his kicking game was largely ineffective. And I'd have thought that any Warrington fans watching that tour wouldn't have been quite as excited as perhaps they hoped they would be. And of course now he's got an injury that will keep him out of action for the first two or three weeks probably. So, you know, I think it's going to be quite a challenge for them. And they've got a lot of very good players, though, having said that. I think there are one or two players there who are going to have to come to the fore and show what they can do. I'm quite interested to see how Luther Burrell will perform.
Yeah.
Because he's a quality player, quality rugby union player, who's come into rugby league pretty late on. And Luther, he seems a really great guy. I've got to say, I've interviewed him, and couldn't be a nicer guy. And I really hope he does well for them. Whether that's in the centre or whether he plays in the forwards, I'm not quite so sure. But he's a big, big guy and should really, once he gets back into the game, be able to have an impact, I think.
Again, Widdop's a big question mark for me.
Can you judge anything off that tour, really?
No, I'm not doing.
The coach, we've judged the coach.
He's a class player, and I want to emphasise that he is a class player.
Yeah.
But for me, his style of rugby league suits the NRL. Mm. Blake Austin came over. You watched his highlight, really. You knew he was a Super League player.
Yeah.
The running game, off the cuff, broken play. Widdop isn't that guy. That's not his game.
He's a structure player.
He is, and I don't think... Now, admittedly, Warrington play... The Aussie coach, Steve Price, they do play with more shape than others, but I'm just not convinced that his style will complement the comp. And beyond that, I'd be looking at his injury record and be very, very nervous.
Mm.
The fact he's already got one, I'd be concerned. I would be concerned that they're not going to get what they hope out of him. Mm. I hope I'm proven wrong because an Halifax lad like me.
Yeah, so do I. I hope he has a great season.
Now, at this point, I did this from memory of where teams finished last season without looking at last season's league table, so please forgive me if I do this in a very strange order. Hull.
Hull were sixth last year, weren't they?
If Hull FC do not finish in the top five, it is a failure. After the recruitment that they've done, they've recruited well. They've got a great squad now. Last year it was a bit like what I'm saying about Cass.
Transitional year, wasn't it? End of the cycle.
Big recruitment coming up. Cass will be doing that. Cass will recruit. They're going through a big recruitment this year.
I think that puts Lee Radford under quite a bit of pressure.
Yeah, it does.
They've gone out and spent a lot of money, presumably at Lee's. You know, on players that Lee wanted to sign. So they've got to deliver the goods this year, and it's as simple as that, really. And they've got to be in the top five, maybe even the top three, if we're honest.
They've got to be
it.
In the top five. Yeah. Anything less than top five for Hull FC this year is a failure.
Yeah.
And that takes us nicely onto Catalans.
Who, well, you know, I hate doing this because every time you back them, they let you down miserably. I'm going to back them to make the five.
Okay. Lewis Taylor's going to be out for the first few games of the season.
Which is a blow, purely because they've lost Braden Williame. They're not blessed with outside backs.
No.
But Maloney is just a compulsive winner.
Steve Brady was reporting that the TV deal is still...
They're still hoping to get one.
I mean,
That's been an ongoing story. And who knows, you know, they might get one because, of course, there might be the Sonny Bill Williams factor coming in there for French television coverage. So who knows? But Maloney's going to be a really interesting player to watch. He's a real character. You know, I hope he gets a lot of exposure in the media because, you know, he's the sort of player who ought to, in my view. I mean, you've got Maloney in the same team as Sam Tompkins. That's an awful lot of interesting possibilities there with quite a few other guys who are, you know, going to be a threat as well, I think.
On paper, they should be in the five. If you go down squad lists, they should be in the five. No question. But they never do. And if they don't this year with that squad, then there is something wrong.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Okie dokie. Huddersfield.
That's Huddersfield didn't finish this high.
Okay.
You've missed Leeds.
You know what? I thought, I'll go to Leeds next. But did Huddersfield finish above Leeds? They did have a little rally towards the end, didn't they? But, okay, Leeds. Sorry, Huddersfield, we'll come back to you.
Well, again, Leeds are under enormous pressure. We've just done a preview of Leeds season in League Express this week. And, you know, I think Richard Agar is another of those coaches who is expected to deliver this year. They've just spent £45 million on improving the stadium. The stadium looks terrific. It's tremendous now. The facilities are marvellous. But obviously the club wants to start recouping some of that money. And the best way to do it is to have massive crowds watching a winning team. I think they'll sell out their first game, that doubleheader.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure of 100%. It, that you'll struggle to get tickets now for those two games. Whether Leeds can... I think Leeds will be challenging for the top five. I'm not sure that they'll necessarily be in it.
I'm absolutely with you.
But, you know, again, they've signed Matt Pryor from Cronulla, who's a good, solid player. He'll give them a great deal of solidity in the middle of the field. Obviously, Luke Gale's the key signing for them this year. Luke has had horrible luck with injuries for the last 2 years. I hope, like anything, that he avoids any injury this year. And if he does, again, he's a remarkable player, Luke. I mean, he won the Albert Goldthorpe Medal 3 years in a row. And if he can play for Leeds like he did for Castleford, then they will have a good season, I think.
I'm with that. I think they'll be in and around it. I think they'll... If we're doing predictions, they'll just miss out.
Wakefield.
A year of struggle.
Those are the views of Matthew Shaw, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't get in touch.
Wakefield are a difficult one. I actually had quite a long conversation not very long ago with Lee Gilmore, the assistant coach at Wakefield. And he was sort of explaining their strategy in their recruitment this year, which has been, you know, to stiffen up their pack effectively. You know, and I think they've probably done that to some degree. I'm not as pessimistic about them as Matt is, but again, they've got key player Danny Brough, who's just turned 37. Now that's pretty old for a rugby league player, but the vibe out of Wakefield is that Danny is still as fit as a fiddle and incredibly quick and can still deliver the goods. Well, you know, I hope he can. So I'm actually a great fan of Danny Brough's. I love watching him play and play well. And if he can do for Wakefield this year, I think they might finish as high as eighth or ninth. But I don't really see them finishing in the top five.
The concern for me with Wakefield, as it has been for many years now, is injuries. They struggle too much with injuries. And...
Well, it's injuries to the wrong players, isn't it? That's the point.
It's quantity as well.
They had three players in the Dream Team in 2018. Ashurst, Tom Johnson and Bill Tupu.
And it all happened over the same month, didn't it, last season?
Those three players missed nearly all of the season.
But go through the last 4 years at Wakefield, while I've been covering Super League, every year is riddled with injuries. And what Wakefield need to figure out to climb up the league is why they are getting injuries. Not what they are, why they're happening. They can do that. They're like any other club. They've got a good, strong first 18, 19, 20.
I think they've got a good squad potentially.
But I just feel the injuries that, for me, that I don't have faith in the injuries not stopping, because they've not stopped for the last 4 years. No. So that for me is why I think they'll struggle.
Huddersfield.
So a bit like what Martin was saying about Wakefield, I think they could push as high as eighth. I can't see them pushing for the playoffs, but I think they've recruited well.
They've recruited well, haven't they?
They have recruited well.
Well, they've got one key recruit, of course, Aidan Caesar. Last year, they didn't really have a halfback to play alongside Lee Gaskell. This year, they've got Caesar, who will actually be in charge in much the same way that Jackson Hastings was at Salford in 2019. I mean, Caesar's come in and made quite a big impact, apparently, and you know, has more or less dictated how the side is going to play, which is quite interesting. He's obviously a big personality. But he's not the only one they've signed. You know, Ash Golding, I think, is a real great signing at fullback for them. I really like Ash Golding. Kenny Edwards is coming from Catalans. But Golding, for me, at fullback, they lacked... Last year, Huddersfield lacked a fullback and they lacked a scrum half.
They lacked a lot of things. They lacked a nastiness.
Well, they've put both those two things right, haven't they? Mm. I mean, they've lost one of
players.
They've lost one or two players as well. Alex Mellor to Leeds.
Cruz Leeming to
Ika Hihifo to Salford. Leeming to Leeds as well. You know, so it's been an in and out sort of thing for them.
Of the teams that are at the were in that bottom mix last year, so which is effectively now just Hull KR, Wakefield and Huddersfield, I think they're the most capable of breaking into the top half this year, if I'm honest.
Hull KR then, finally, Hull KR.
No, we haven't mentioned Toronto. Well,
the whole show's been about Toronto.
Yeah, we haven't given a prediction, though.
No, we haven't.
I've got Hull KR to go down.
Well, the sad thing for Hull KR is that they're already having a lot of injuries before the season started. I'm so sorry for Mozzie Mazzeau. I mean, I'd just like to wish Mozzie Mazzeau all the very, very best through this podcast, because, you know, I couldn't believe it when I heard about that injury. I was so distressed about it. And it just looked like an innocuous tackle on the field, didn't it? You couldn't blame anybody for it, but it was just incredibly unfortunate and unlucky. And I certainly hope that Mozzie can make a complete recovery in some, in the long run. But, for the time being, he's obviously in hospital. But Hull KR, he's not the only injury they've had. Weller Haraki, who's the joint captain with Mozzie, has had an injury as well. Dean Hadley's injured. Every year there's one club that just seems to suffer more than most with injuries.
But Martin, this is the point I'm making, isn't it always? One of those clubs, don't they always seem to be Hull FC, Hull KR and Wakefield?
Sometimes,
someone needs to be having a chat with Salford and saying, how on earth did you go through last season?
St Helens.
Yeah.
It always, Hull KR is the same as what I'm saying with Wakefield, they always seem to rack up the injuries.
It would be interesting to do some research on that, wouldn't it, to find out whether there's any
particular reason. It was that bad last season. You had a full page spread, basically, of all the injuries these clubs were accruing. Yeah. It was pretty bad, wasn't it?
It's just, again, Hulk and the thing for Hulk, they're such cruel injuries, because Mozzie Mazzeau and Weller Araki, two of the most experienced forwards, two of the biggest forwards. Mm. They've got a young squad, a lot of talented forwards, but forwards that physically haven't matured yet.
No.
I just think they'll be outdone. They'll just be bullied down the middle. It depends on who they recruit, but they've still got Mitch Garber. But Garber has his injury problem. Garber's touch and go for the start. He's always got a few injuries. I think he played about 15-18 games last year. I just think that they're not going to have enough down the middle. Outside, I mean, they've signed a lot of unproven players at this level. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Watching a lot of Championship, the guys they've signed, I think will go all right in Super League, if I'm honest. I'm not sure about Ethan Ryan, but I think Ethan Ryan's a phenomenal finisher, but wingers in
Super League robot yardage, and that's not his game. Nick Rosethorne is, I think. So I think he might go all right.
I'll tell you what, their first game is against Wakefield, isn't it? And that's going to be a really interesting game for them, for both sides. Because, you know, there are two sides there that we're predicting probably not going to be in the top part of the table. So it's going to be really important for those two clubs to get off to a good start. And the second game for Hull KR is against Hull FC. And that looks a real big test for them at the moment, you know, given the way that they're 100%. Getting injuries and so on and so forth.
Well, we've got one more weekend of warm-up matches left, and then we're on it good and proper next weekend.
We still haven't done Toronto's prediction.
I know,
I've gone through
that?
Every other
that
club.
That was a whistle-stop tour of Super League. We're going to do it in a lot more detail next week, and, of course, Championship as well.
Go on, then.
10th. I've gone through every... Well, you could have figured it out because I've said where everyone else is finishing, but I think Toronto finished 10th.
Yeah.
Good squad. We'll start the season well when they're fully fit, but the injuries will come, and I think...
The injuries are going to come, though, if it goes that way, when they'll be in Toronto playing home matches, which
when
is
they're
surely...
Traveling, when they're travelling 8-hour flights twice a week. I think the season will catch up with them, but I think they'll probably do enough early on to stay up.
Right.
Okay, that's the whistle-stop tour. We're going to do it in a lot more detail next week, I promise, dear listener. But just before we go, there are some matters arising from the world of rugby league that we've missed over the last couple of months since you last heard us. Prince Harry doing the World Cup draw, that was publicity.
Sensational.
Can't buy.
Absolutely, absolutely sensational. Yeah. Well, the funny thing was that the following day, or last Friday morning, we featured on the front page of six national newspapers, and it was in news bulletins all around the world. Not just in this country, but all around the world. Mm. They were showing Prince Harry drawing the Rugby League World Cup. Admittedly, the focus was on Prince Harry, not the Rugby League in many cases. But, that was incredible, I think. And I hope our sport is able to take advantage of it.
I'm going to call this now. John Dutton, Chief Executive of World Cup 2021. Been playing a blinder, hasn't he? Really, every single turn this
I'll
World Cup's
you,
been taken.
I'll
it's
tell
been
you something.
A triumph so far.
It's okay talking about Sonny Bill Williams, getting him into rugby league and so on. We need to make sure that after 2021 we keep John Dutton. You know,
it's no accident, is it? Really?
Remember Sally Bolton from 2013? She organised that tournament. She's now the chief executive of the Lawn Tennis Association. And good luck to Sally. Great. But I wish he was still in rugby league. And, I fear what I don't want to read in a few years' time is John Dutton, the chief executive of the Premier League, you know, Football League or FA or whatever it might be. I hope he's still in rugby league.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll obviously be covering the World Cup as the season progresses. Speaking of the international game, just a quick mention for Red Star and Valencia. They made waves.
Yeah.
Over the winter.
I've done a column on it. I'm for them. I'm not convinced they're ready for it. You read what they're saying, and Valencia is saying we'll be competitive with 50% Spanish players. Well,
you can't be.
Spain got hammered by Ireland. Valencia had to draft in, they had to call professional clubs over and get them to lend them players.
At the moment, that's just an idea.
They conceded 104 points.
Is Red Star a bit further along? They are, aren't they, really?
But again, they're on about, we're going to stick to our values, yes. Peace in League Express, which are a great piece, it's very admirable. Mm. We're going to stick to our roots, we're going to develop and promote Serbian players. Fantastic, that's great. But they lost to a team in the third tier of the National Conference League in the first round of the Challenge Cup. So, going to League One, it's not going to work, is it? I'm sorry if I'm being a bit... Because it's not, you know what I'm like, I love expansion. I'd like it to work,
but there's no point in doing it if it's not going to work.
Exactly, and this is the point I made in this piece. You can't do expansion for the sake of
it. You can't do it on a dream.
Isn't it strange that we're here at the Toronto Wolfpack launch and a lot of criticism about the Toronto Wolfpack is you don't have any Canadian players. Mm. And here we've got two clubs going, we're going to develop our own players. And it's like, you can't...
No. I want them to. I'd love for Spain and Serbia to be competing for the World Cup. But
that takes years, doesn't it?
But the problem, what I'm saying is, what they're saying they're going to do doesn't add up with what they're also saying they're going to do on another. The two don't add up. A 50% Spanish team and be competitive, that's not going to work. And then, again, with Belgrade, Matthew Wright said, we don't have a millionaire waiting in the wings, but we're hoping by going public we'll get some corporate investment. Also, you haven't got any corporate investment, but you're going to be in by 2021. It just doesn't add up to me.
No, it doesn't make sense.
You know, and it's, we're not talking about
a couple of hundred quid here to fund Irway. Look how much David Aguirre's had to put in. And yes, you don't have to do it on that level. Mm. But it's not cheap.
Just a very quick one before we go.
Yep.
We last did a podcast just coming up to the grand final, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, it was just after.
So we didn't do one that took in the Great Britain tour.
Oh, I'm going.
I just wonder, is it worth just ending by saying who would we like to see coaching England?
Sean Wayne.
Yeah, I wanted to get that in because I think most people would like that.
Well, I was going to end the show with the new play of the ball adjustment. Have I done that the wrong way around? Adjustment or play of the ball, rather.
Well,
let's hope we just don't get a flurry of penalties in every game.
What is the new rule?
It's just a very
The new rule
change.
Is that you've got to play the ball.
With your foot, the new, properly.
The new well, rule stand is, up and play it. Yes.
The new rule is basically try and do it better. Mm. It's too subjective. It's too hard for the referees to police.
It is.
It won't change.
No.
I like a rule that just says do it better.
Yeah.
I like that. And, well, that's the end of the show. I hope you've enjoyed this first show of the series. Like I said, we're going to do a proper season preview next week for Super League and the Championship. Big thank you to Matthew Shaw.
You're welcome.
Big thank you to Martin Sutler.
It's a pleasure.
A big thank you to Brian Noble as well, who joined us, and to Bob Hunter. And a big thank you to the Toronto Wolfpack for their hospitality this afternoon. And you all have a lovely weekend. Enjoying your warm-up matches. And we'll speak to you next week. Bye-bye.